Father, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. And Father, I pray that everyone be encouraged. Even though the times are dark and the enemy's trying to divide us, I thank you, Lord, we look to you. We look to you. We lift up our head. We know our redemption draws nigh. We thank you, Father, that you died on the cross so that we could live. Father, you paid the price so that we could live. And we thank you for that price you paid. And we accept that price. Father, we thank you for Jesus. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. In Acts 20, I'm just going to read something here. It says, be on guard. In other translations, or take heed, some translations say, be on guard for yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on alert. Remember that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And today we need to do the same thing. We need to take heed. We need to be watching. We need to be aware that there's a plan of the enemy, agenda of the enemy, to divide and conquer us. And I've taught the message, take what hill do you want to die on? You have to make a decision what offense you're going to pick up and what you're going to stand in this day and this hour. And my big heart is that we don't be deceived, we don't fall away, because there's a lot of deception in the church, and I want to talk about some of that. What's the difference between biblical preaching and motivational speaking? A lot of people that we listen to now are motivational speakers, and they take a scripture or so, but they just try to rise your interest and kind of get you excited and revved up, or it's really a nice pep talk. And we're going to go into that and some other things. But we need to see that there is a great deception, and what does this great deception look like? Do you know if there's deception going on with your favorite leader, your favorite celebrity preacher? How would you know if they're deceived, if they're causing you to be deceived? What are you supposed to look out for? People have been asking me this a lot, so I wanted to answer this. In 2 Thessalonians 2, there, 1 through 3, it says, let no man deceive you by any means. And he says there's coming a great falling away. So what are some things to look for? Because he said, even the elect, it said, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. So here's a few characteristics that we might expect or we can look for. This deception, number one, will tell people to expect a great revival, a great awakening, instead of expecting a great falling away. What does the Bible teach? 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3, says there's going to be a great falling away. So what does that look like? This deception would be close to the real thing, because good counterfeits are hard to distinguish from the original. In order to deceive effectively, the deception will claim to be all about Jesus. And we've taught before in times past, this is a different Jesus. This is a different gospel, and this is a different spirit that they're talking about. How will you know the difference? Because they add Jesus to it, or Christ consciousness to it, or we are elevating, we are evolving. Those are key words that we need to watch out for in this movement, this deception. It also will have to be embraced by the majority, because people usually go along with the majority. So it's got to be massive. This deception is massive. It's going to be mega. This deception would look like the Bible, to discredit the Bible, actually, what it really teaches. So they take certain scriptures, and I've listened to a few of these people, and it's like, wow, doubt and unbelief come when you start listening to them, and they discredit the Bible, they discredit all these different things, but they use the Bible and they twist scriptures to make the Bible discredited. Well, you better be strong in the Bible and the Word in these next coming months, even. Not even years, but discrediting is happening now with the Bible. It's being discredited, an all-out attack. If they did an all-outside attack from the Bible, it'd be too obvious. When Scripture itself is twisted and distorted, it's extremely useful in deceiving people. Take a Scripture out of context, twist it, make it sound good. Well, then you think, well, the Bible says it. Look, they're quoting the Bible. Remember, I've said before, they quote the Bible, but they don't teach the Bible. To teach the Bible, you go line upon line, precept upon precept. You see who it's written to, all those other things. But this deception could only happen if Christians were being taught to somehow let down their guard. When you stop, what does it say, watching? When you stop taking heed, when you stop guarding, all of a sudden you let down your guard. And now the false teachers that are in place, and don't forget they're not to Ezekiel, it's the same thing back in the day, where the false prophets are more than the true people of God, so they have the majority, and they start talking about peace and safety and all this and that, and their peace and safety, I was reading what that word, again, they preach peace. In the Hebrew, it's easy. Rest, prosperity, and happiness. Your happy day now. It doesn't prepare the people to stand in battle. You listen to these teachings, and nobody's talking about what's going on in the world. Nobody is preparing them for the darkness that lies ahead. They just omit Matthew 24, and they omit let no man deceive you. They omit all the false prophets' scriptures. They just omit it. They don't talk about it. They just talk about certain subjects that make you feel good. Right. Well, in the end times, we have to know what the whole Bible says. So the Bible's full against warnings about a falling away, and he tells us to avoid false teachers and false doctrines. Most people don't know what a false teacher is, because they think they're so prosperous and successful, they can't be false. So some other beliefs would have to be repeatedly instilled into people's minds in order for them to ignore the Bible. Get hooked on the speaker. Get hooked on the motivational message, because if it's negative, they don't want to hear it. This has been happening for 40 years, at least, that I know of. This deception would have to grow not only by bringing pagan ideas into the church, from pagans, but from trusted Christian leaders. We're seeing this more and more. New Age concepts, New Age socialism, all these things are coming from the pulpits. So the people are deceived because they trust those leaders. This is deception. These trusted leaders could have their trust created and propped up artificially by marketing. Boy, you talk about pressure to have a big church, pressure to have this, pressure to have that. If you want to have more numbers, you got to do this and that. I get emails all the time, delete, delete, delete. But this has been my whole life in ministry for four. They pitch you against another church. You got to have more. You have no idea what these leaders are facing. And basically, you got to die to it. And you just have to say, I'm just going to preach the simplicity of the gospel. Not the drama, not the entertainment, but people don't want that. They'll go down the road for the entertainment and the drama. But you got to stand before God with a clear heart and a clear conscience, preaching the whole counsel of God. Because here, from trusted Christian leaders, these trusted leaders could have their trust created and propped up artificially by marketing and repeated exposure in the same way that large corporations create trust through relentless advertising. Same kind of a thing. These leaders would have to prop each other up. So now we not just have a one, but now they're starting to prop each other up. In order to appeal like a unified group of highly respected spiritual champions. They would spend a lot of time and energy convincing their followers of how great and humble they are. And we're going to talk about this, about motivational speakers. They preach about themselves. When you preach the Bible, you preach about Jesus, right, and you preach about his word, and these people are always have another story to tell about how great a faith they have, and they have the best of this and the best of that. When you've been separated from that and you go back to hear it, it's just like a foreign language. This deception would flourish if people were taught that the mind intellect is bad, but the spirit is good. Their reliance on emotional experiences and feelings would ensure a constant state of delusion. Oh, the Lord's told me that. I feel this. I feel that. They forget the Bible, but now they're going by feelings. And remember, the word and the spirit are supposed to agree. But now we have a bunch of people that are emotional and they're totally over in the spirit, so-called. And it's not really the Holy Spirit, but it's other spirits. They're not taking heed. These voices tell them to do things and they do them, even though it's not holiness. It's not according to other scriptures, but something told them. Interesting. So we have to be on guard. Take heed, pay attention, and listen. Take heed, pay attention, and listen. So the difference here, I'm going to give you quickly about the motivational speaker versus the Bible preacher. We listened a couple weeks ago to someone, and it was all motivation. And to me, it was gagation. It was absolutely horrible. And we know this person. And I knew them when they first came into all this. Now they're very popular. And I was like, wow, talk about a, I don't know what you, I said, all this is a motivational speech. There's, it's all about you. It's nothing really about the Lord. It's all excitement and hype. And it's inspiring, just to inspire the people. So I started doing a research on what is motivation, motivational. What is a motivational speaker? Are we supposed to be motivational? Now, on one hand, we should be. I mean, nobody wants to come and talk to someone that's not motivated, you know? But we're talking about balance here. Not, I mean, of course, everything has to be motivated us to walk with the Lord, to you know, do certain things. But here we're talking about an agenda. An agenda to move into the churches and to push the Bible away, to put mega speak preachers in, all this mega stuff in, and have motivational speakers. So we're living in the day of the rise of motivational speakers. In 2 Corinthians 4, 5, let's look there. 2 Corinthians, well, let's go 1 through 7. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, some bad things happened this week. A lot of people went through some stuff, and I'm sure I could, out there, you guys are all... We don't faint. God keeps giving us mercy. Thank you for your grace, Lord, to face whatever situations we're dealing with. We look to you. We look to you for our strength. We don't muster it up. We have that relationship, and we look to you for our strength. We don't faint. And then it says here, but having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. This is a day of deceitfulness. And he says that the evil shall get worse and worse, not better and better. So then it says, keeps going, but the God of this world hath blinded their minds, verse 4. Verse 5, and this is kind of the, for we preach not ourselves. Right. Sometimes people get up their motivational speakers and they just keep telling you story after story after story of how they got this. They got their latest airplane. They got their house. And they expect you to be motivated. That's the world. And you expect the world to act that way in business meetings. We're talking about coming together, assembling to lift up the Lord. We're talking about walking in the fear of God, facing the end times with fellow believers and not be divided against them because everything is dividing. You believe in this, they don't believe in that. You believe in this, they don't. They purposely want division, and that's how they bring countries down, divide and conquer. Used to be attack the black man, now it's attack the white and attack the Asians. Have you noticed that? Always an enemy. There's always got to be an enemy. But we don't fall for that stuff. That's the spirit of the world. But we don't expect it in the church. But unfortunately now it's been in and it is in the church. So we're living in a day that we have to know the difference between a pep talk, a motivational sermon, and the true word of God. Okay? So I'm going to just give you a few things here, but motivation, I looked it up in the Wikipedia, it says inspire. Motivational speakers who make speeches intend to motivate or inspire an audience. Oh, that's good. I mean, we want to be inspired. The speech itself is a pep talk at schools, colleges, places of worship, corporations, etc. The problem is now we have self-help gurus to visualize your path to success. They don't want to talk about what's really going on in the world. Jesus was never concerned about telling the truth. No matter what he talked about, he spoke truth. And he let them know, especially in Matthew 24, what's coming. They wanted to know what the signs of the time was before his coming. And he said, great deception. Take heed that no man deceive you. He didn't even know if he came back, if there'd be any faith on the earth. We're talking about faith in him, not faith in ourselves. But he talked about a great religious deception. And part of this deception is motivational preaching, teaching, self-help, to visualize your path to success. And they'll help you work through problems in life. They offer encouragement along the way. Now, that's okay for some things, but when we come to the gospel, we need to make sure that we're hearing and listening to the Bible so we can obey it. That's what he asks us to do. Just listen. Faith will come. You don't have to work it up. You read your Bible, faith comes to obey it. They've made it so hard. So here's a few things. Preaching is more than a motivational speech. We're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15, not just to inspire people to do a better, have a better happy day, or to motivate them to feel better. There's some differences, and here's a couple of them that I found. Motivational speaking tends to be man-centered. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, we preach not ourselves. So if you have a preacher up there and all he does is talk about himself, that's narcissism. That is not a Christian pastor that's leading you to Christ. They're leading you to themselves. Oh, if I could just be like him. So motivational speaking tends to be man-centered and people-pleasing. Preaching is Christ-centered and God-honoring. Okay, we don't preach ourselves. Preaching is about the cross. Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sins. You either accept that or you reject that. We believe in Christ so that he took away the penalty from being alienated from God. He paid that price. So we accept that. People that don't like that, they are going to discredit and attack like we've never seen. But preaching is about the cross and the kingdom of God. Motivational speaking is about our works, our words, our life, and our will. Our will. Remember that Satan said, I will do this, I will, I will. So many churches now are going into the I wills of what you want rather than, Lord, what do you want? How are we supposed to live? How people want no guidance nowadays. Preaching proclaims the gospel message of Christ's death and resurrection for our salvation. In fact, he says in John there, 1 John, that if they don't believe Jesus came in the flesh, they don't even believe he came in the flesh, it's of the Antichrist, right? Well, now they're saying Jesus is just a master. He's just an ascended master. He's just like anyone else. You're going to hear this over and over and over, and they'll use Jesus, but he's an ascended master. Motivational speaking might tag on the sinner's prayer at the end of a how-to self-help message. Preaching produces a holy awe of God, a deep respect for his word. Motivational speaking tends to be light, fun, humorous, and entertaining. And my pastor's so cool. He's so hip. He's so awesome. Everybody wants to see him. He's just so cool. We're not supposed to be hip and cool. That's the world. But now we see that's in the church. Every pastor's trying to be cooler than the other pastor. And what a pressure to have to try to get people in. Motivational speaking, light, fun, humorous, entertaining, and no fear of God. I mean, it's okay to laugh. I love to have fun. But when it's just motivational speaking, really, Christ is not the center of those speeches. It's showtime. The moment the motivational speaker steps onto the podium, you have to put on a good show. You have to have good lights. You got to have good action. You got to have a good band. Well, what if all that's taken away? What if you're persecuted for some reason and you have to meet underground and you can't? Can you live without the show? Yep. What are you going to do? We have to prepare ourselves for anything that comes down. We're supposed to be warriors in the army of the Lord. We haven't been taught how to stand. Preaching freely discusses heaven and hell. Motivational speaking never addresses hell. And addresses hustle, getting happy, and reaching your goals. And a big thing with the motivational speaking is your dream. What about God's dream of getting people saved, right? So motivational speaking is part of the things we got to take heed to. when you're listening to someone ask, are they a motivational speaker? Or are they just entertaining? Or are they really preaching the gospel? The true gospel is not easy to hear sometimes. Preaching is salt. Motivational speaking is sugar. Sugar. Preaching is salt. Repent. Get right. The chastening of the Lord is not fun, but if he loves you, he's going to chasten you. Make some adjustments. Be careful how you treat people. Walk in love. Make some adjustments. Now the world, everything is getting terribly outside there, but it's sad to see that some of these people are saying they're preachers and they're bringing all this stuff inside the churches. Now we're going through in Minneapolis this big trial, and right away they bring in all this stuff to try to stir up everybody. And remember all the things I taught about, the community agitators. Yep. We're seeing it firsthand here. When people listen to God's word, they want more of God. When people listen to more motivational speeches, they want more of that speaker. I'm a fan. Love for the things of this world will not produce hunger for God. And sadly, many of our churches, even today, the minister gets up and what does he talk about? Himself, what kind of car he drives, how blessed he is, how he spends all this money for cologne. I couldn't believe this one guy said $400 for a bottle of cologne. Some people can't even pay rent, and they're bragging about what they're... It's just gotten ridiculous and crazy, and you don't have to take it. Remember that song? Just kind of rose up. Okay, now you need to know the difference between motivational speaking and preaching. Now I'm just going to do a last segment here about As the World Turns. I think I'm just going to call it As the World Turns. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know or don't want to know about how the world turns, just shut it off right here. Okay? Some people can't handle it. This is something else that they want us to divide about. It's assisted suicide deaths soar in Victoria, Australia, as euthanasia becomes normalized globally. Two articles came to me about the same thing, and I thought, wow, this is happening. Assisted suicide deaths soar in Victoria, Australia, as euthanasia becomes normalized globally. Now, this was from the Christian Post Reporter, March 23rd, 2021. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it just reminded me when I've been talking through the years about Dr. Richard Day and how he was an insider saying that this was all going to come. He called it the demise pill. That, you know, to get rid of people, they're going to say you're too old, it's time for you, your resources, you're taking up too much, it's time for you to say goodbye. And I think this brain thing is just, brainwashing is just starting to come. More and more people are thinking, well, my life is over. I mean, I love grandparents, and I love to sit down and hear stories, but just imagine if all these people think that they're just too old and they should get out of the way for the next generation. Well, this is going to be, and it's already started, as you'll see, this is much more advanced than you think. Introduced voluntary assisted dying when the state legalized euthanasia in June 2019 through the Voluntary Assisted Dying Act 2017. Now, Wesley Smith was against this. He organized it, seek to preserve human rights and dignity, said, assisted dying is a destruction of human equal worth. Smith told the Christian Post that euthanasia often becomes normalized once it's legal. Once you legalize assisted suicide and euthanasia, then the effort comes to normalize that as the better way of dying. It's called death with dignity. As if dying naturally isn't dignified, Smith said. And you generally see in a consistent pattern of ever-increasing numbers of people who die by euthanasia or assisted suicide. Boy, and he goes on, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but in recent months, euthanasia has become more prevalent worldwide. Spain passed legislation legalizing it. It's the fourth European country to allow physician-assisted suicide. Last week, Canada passed legislation to expand access to physician-assisted suicide after making it legal. It's been legal since 2016. And I'm going to share just a little bit about that thing in Canada. So this is a very consistent pattern. Once it's legalized, you wind up with more and more people doing it because it becomes normalized. Smith said, you'll always see a lot of media stories that promote this. All play a part in promoting this as the best way to die. In 2020, the Netherlands expanded euthanasia to include terminally ill children younger than 12 years old. A Dutch court, now this is where people are going to fight. Some are going to say, well, this is the best thing, and others are going to say, it's not the way that, you know, man now should can take control over who lives and who dies. But put in the wrong hands. You always have to think of some things were created for the good, but then they're put in the wrong hands and bad things happen. I was just listening to a testimony of a scientist that was in CRISPR. And she said, wow, all these things that we've made now in the wrong hands could be absolutely horrifying. So in 2020, the Netherlands expanded it to include terminally ill children younger than 12. A Dutch court approved for dementia patients. And three countries voted to legalize assisted suicide. Remember back in the day, that guy went to prison for that, didn't he? Kevorkian, that's his name, yeah. And now this is legalized and it's becoming more and more so-called normal. The legislation typically begins with strict medical and legal guidelines used as obstacles or barriers to protect individuals in the realm of assisted suicide, this man shares, but then before long, all of a sudden the barriers come down. All of a sudden the guidelines changes. All of a sudden this is added and this is added. So efforts are made to loosen the protections to make assisted suicide more accessible and less restrictive. Then you'll also begin to see that the supposed tight restrictions are deemed to be too restrictive. They become obstacles, they become burdens, and you begin to see a loosening process. The ultimate end goal, by the way, whether they intend it or not, but certainly the end outcome, is going to be death on demand. And I'm going to stop there. But it goes on. And he does say some countries have expanded euthanasia to mentally ill or disabled individuals and often use it as a means of organ harvesting, Smith added. And he talks about definitely this is going to spread. It's in different countries, though not as prominent in the United States. At least 8 states, did you know, already have this? The District of Columbia currently have physician suicide of aid in dying legislation, according to Death with Dignity. These states include, that are already, this is passed, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Maine, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. Wow. It's a lot to think of. And this one's from Canada. Legalized physician-assisted suicide, which has been termed medical aid in dying in 2016, to include individuals who have a disability but are not facing a terminal illness. So now all of a sudden, just because you have a disability, see how this can keep, the goalposts can change. He said, this guy that's talking against it, he said, once you buy into the logic of this, you find yourself in almost every case just extending the logic further and further and further, adding other cases. Pretty soon it's so out of control. The logic that began for those who were terminally ill was extended to adults terminally ill. Then it was extended to adults who weren't terminally ill but had some diagnosis that they did not want to deal with. Then it was extended to those who had a form of depression or some kind of a psychiatric diagnosis. And then it was extended to children. And then it was extended beyond adolescents to younger children. What we're looking at here is that in Canada, it has now been extended to the disabled. Moeller, this guy that's then warned that if such ideas were prevailing in Canada, it would not be long until they gained traction in its neighborhood to the south, the United States. Wow. So let's close in Hebrews 12. So what do we do with all this bad news? Some people don't want to deal with it at all. But God didn't tell us. He said, take heed, watch, and pray. Know that the darkness is coming. It's darker. It's getting darker. We look to him. We look up. Our redemption draws nigh. In Hebrews 12, I always love this one. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we were born again and brought into churches that just told us that, you know, enjoy your life, enjoy every day, be happy. Now they don't know how to deal with what's going on with all the bad news, the lockdowns. Now this, they're saying the fourth wave, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to go into all that. We deal with it with Christ. We deal with it in reality. We deal with reality. In churches, we were not taught reality. We were taught escape into some glory cloud. And what do? We look unto Jesus. Remember, he's the author and the finisher of your faith. He started with us. He knows some of us got distracted. We got deceived along the way. We thought what they were teaching was the gospel. Then we woke up and we said, wow, now nobody wants to hear you, because they thought that was the gospel. Don't give me bad news, because we've been taught positive, positive, positive. That's the world. Even the world, you run around in stores and says, stay positive. It doesn't say anything about accepting Christ and deal with sin. I mean, dealing with sin and anger and hatred and all that is not fun. But you're going to have to deal with hatred, because the enemy wants to divide us against people. And you have to decide which hill you want to die on. And you have to have love in your heart. We have to keep walking in love. There's going to be a lot of idiots running around. And you're going to have to make up your mind. As for you and your house, you're going to walk in love. That doesn't mean you agree. But it does also doesn't mean you tell them everything that you know. You have to be wise. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. There's going to be a great falling away, the Bible tells us, and I think a lot of it's going to happen because the churches have lied to us. And they're going to say, well, then I don't want God. If he's not going to do this and this and that, we can't tell him what he's going to do. He's given us his word. We have to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Don't faint in the battle. We are in for a battle. We are to endure to the end. Some of you haven't faced a battle yet, but there's other countries. You're in the middle of a battle. Some people have no idea what you're going through, but God does. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. That's why I say we got to examine ourselves. Are we walking in the love of God? People are doing things we don't like that they're doing. They're making choices we don't agree with. You're going to make choices they don't agree with. So now do you just cut each other off? Do you just have no fellowship with anyone? You're going to have to figure out how you're going to walk in these end times. For whom the Lord loves, he does chasten. Lift up those hands, verse 12, that hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace. Doesn't say compromise. It says follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. Don't let the root of bitterness come. Because once that root grows, then the fruit comes out, and it comes out your mouth, right? So lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So let's close with this. And we're thankful that Jesus, in verse 24, is the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Father, for paying the price. You sent Jesus to us. We accept him, and we thank you, Lord, that this is a time of celebration. You did not stay in the tomb. You wouldn't be locked down. You came forth. Nobody could stop you. And we thank you, Father, for your resurrection. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we thank you for strengthening people. In Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. And I want to thank all our viewers, the ones that are helping us stay on the on the YouTube. We have no words. We're just so thankful that we can still keep going. And I can't wait till we see each other face to face. There's going to be a day I'm going to say, hey, I know you. I know your name. Because we know who gives, and we know the people online, and we watch what's going on, and we're just so thankful. Some from this country, some from that. It's just amazing. And don't stop writing me. All of a sudden, our P.O. box got dried up. We love little encouragement notes and letters and emails, even though I don't write back sometimes. It's just me writing all these people, but we loved it. We've got one from Holland and a couple from the UK and from Australia, and we just love it that here we are, this little group, and these YouTubes go all over the world. And to that, we give God all the glory. Amen. Amen?
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing, so we depend.